Sometimes, as a preacher, I turn to a passage of Scripture, and there's a verse or there's a phrase that just jumps out at me and says, "Preach me." Such was the case when I looked at 1 Peter 4, verses 7 to 11, and the verse was verse 10. "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in all its various forms." Here, the readers are being instructed, and that's you and I this morning, being instructed as believers to be faithful stewards of the grace of God in all its manifold forms. What an amazing privilege that is. Think for a moment about the meaning of these instructions. Whose grace are we talking about here? It's not my grace. It's not your grace. It's God's grace that we're talking about. And who are the ones who are responsible for distributing this grace to, in all its various forms, to others? Well, of course, it's the stewards commissioned by God to do so faithfully. Well, who does God commission then to be those faithful stewards? Is it just the pastor or the deacon or the spiritual A-graders? No, it's every believer, from the youngest child who knows the Lord to the oldest person who praises the Lord regularly. We're all to be these stewards. But what is this grace that we are to be stewards of? Now, we sung this morning about the saving grace of God. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Wonderful grace that gives what I don't deserve, pays me what Christ has earned, then lets me go free. There's nothing I can do to scare your grace away. No foolish thing I do, no foolish thing I say. Under the shadow of a cross, under a shower of grace, I feel the Father's healing hands and touch his smiling face. That's the saving grace of God. But that grace is the grace that only God can give. For it is the grace that Christ won at great cross, great cost for him on the cross of Calvary. It's that special grace, isn't it, that changes our hearts and our futures forever. And we can talk about that grace. And we can point others towards that grace. But the agent of saving grace is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit alone. But as well as that grace, there is the grace, the fullness of the grace of God, which is the kindness and goodness of God poured out on all people at all times, everywhere. Poured out on people in so many ways, and not just on believers either, but on unbelievers too. And that is the grace that is more in mind here when Peter is speaking. We see this grace in the beauty and in the provision of creation, in all its great variety, don't we? We see this grace in the food that we eat. When we give thanks for the food, if we do, we say, grace. Because we understand it is a gift of God's grace to us. But as well as that, it is also the way that God delights to touch the lives of people with happiness, with comfort, with encouragement, with joy, through His children. Through you and me. Through His children using their gifts to bless the lives of others in the name of Jesus. This grace that Peter is speaking about here is a loving touch of God's hands upon the lives of some person's life as given through the words, through the acts, through the attitude, through the prayer, or through the compassion of one of God's children. That means that we can be agents of God's grace. You and I. You ever thought of it? That's what we're doing. We're stewards of the grace of God. Are we faithful stewards of the grace of God? Just recently, I've been really blown away by the thought that God delights to bring joy into the hearts of all people. Not just church people, not just Christians, but all people. That God has this delight. He gets a real buzz out of bringing joy into the hearts of people. Last year, Judy and I were really privileged to go on one of those whale-watching cruises out of Exmouth. There wasn't that many people on the boat that day, but there was heaps and heaps of humpback whales out there, which was really, really great. But as we were going along in this boat, and everyone was looking, focusing on the ocean, waiting for the whale to appear. You know how it is? I just happened to glance at their faces. And when that humpback whale launched itself out of the water in front of us, I saw a burst of joy go through everyone. You've seen that? You've been there when that happened? Who calls that joy? The whale? No, the creator of the whale. He did it. Why did God do it? So we can have so much happiness. There have been times when I've just been there and glanced at someone who's had a lovely piece of fruit, perhaps a beautiful peach, and they've taken a bite out of it, and I've watched their face, and I've known straight away that it's good. Not just by the juice that runs down their chin, but by their expression on their face, which is one of just joy at the taste. Who does that? God does that. Why? Because He delights to give us joy. We take it for granted, but it's there. In both cases, you could say that these are agents of God's grace to human beings in a very simple way. And God desires that those who are His, who love Him, who own Him their lives, and who seek to follow Him, that we are agents of His grace to others too. God calls us, you and I, to have this overwhelming desire to bring joy to others. Did you know that? To help others, to comfort others, to encourage others, to be there for others, and to do so in the name of Jesus. To do so because our Heavenly Father is the giver of all good things, and we are His stewards. We are His agents. And in doing this, we want God to gain the glory. We don't want the glory for ourselves, do we? We want God to gain the glory. We want somehow God to increase His kingdom through it. That God will use it in some way to reveal Himself to somebody else, even as He has first revealed Himself to us. That's our hope when we reach out as agents of God's grace. We hope it's going to be effective, don't we? That's our hope, and our faith, which is the bridge to that hope being fulfilled, is our trust in God to do it in His time and in His way. We don't know how He would do it.
We haven't got the slightest clue sometimes. We think, how can this little thing that I've just done be used by God? But we trust him that along the way he will use it in some way. That God will turn an act of kindness on our part into a proclamation of his love to someone. We trust him to do that. That's our faith. I know this pastor who heard about someone who was very sick in hospital. Now, he didn't know this person, but she had been to his church several times at Christmas and Easter. And he knew the family a little. And he just felt prompted that he should go and visit her. So he got permission from the family and went in to see this lady. And because he didn't know her and she didn't really know him at all, the conversation was okay, but it wasn't anything really great. Nothing really spiritually uplifting or anything. It was just one of those times when you walk in and they talk and he had talked and you walk out and you think, well, fair enough. And in fact, the lady that was visited, after he had been to see her, she said, well, that was very nice. But I can't really work out why he thought he should come to see me. But God, you see, had other cards that he had still to play. And a little while later, God drew that lady into his embrace, and she became a Christian. Next time that pastor went to see her, she said to him, now I know it was God who sent you to my hospital bed that day. I know of a Christian woman who was travelling in a train in Perth, and she saw another lady sitting in the carriage. I think she's sitting next to her. And this lady was looking very lonely, very lost, quite sad. So she started up a conversation with her. And it turned out that the lady was new to the country. She'd only just arrived recently. And she was trying to settle in and find it very hard. No friends, missing home, and everything else. So they exchanged telephone numbers, began to talk to each other. A little bit later, that lady went to her church with her. And sometime after that, that lady became a Christian. Agents of God's grace, trusting God to bring the fruit. We're doing our part, God will do his, and he will do it well. And for us to be agents of God's grace, we simply set out to bring joy into the situation of another. It may be by being a friend to someone who hasn't got a friend. Or being a friend to someone who's got plenty of friends, but they actually, God says, they need you. Maybe be taking some of the bread we have here home and taking it to someone else that you think would need it. It may be just that phone call the Lord lays upon your heart. It may be being there for someone when they've got no one else there to be there for them. It may be caring practically for another Christian, someone in our congregation or in another congregation. And we trust God to bring what he wishes out of it. Being agents of God's grace. What a privilege. But when Peter writes about it, there's something else he mentions. He tells us there's a time limit on being agents of God's grace. Right at the beginning, verse 7, he says, the end of all things is near. Christ could return, says Peter, any time. Therefore, you need to be agents of his grace now. Don't put it off. Don't think, oh, I can do that tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come for you. Now, of course, for us, it implies even more. We're a lot closer to the Lord's return than what Peter was. We know that now. He didn't know it then. But as well as that, we all know how fragile life is. We need to use the days we've been given, and we need to use them well. And that means when the Spirit prompts us to be agents of his grace, we can't muck around with that. We may not get tomorrow to do it. We need to do it. We need to do it now. That's what Peter says in this letter. But the other interesting to note is the word Peter uses for steward. Serve others as faithful stewards. He didn't say servants, but faithful stewards. Because you see, it's the same word that the Lord Jesus used in the following parable. And this parable, he told his disciples in response to a question from one of his disciples. Guess who asked the question? Peter. That's right. And this is the parable that Jesus told. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? Exactly the same word. Who his master will make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. That's a coming reference there. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Pretty strong words. Made strong because they're making a point. Basically, Jesus is saying, God has given his believers a task. You're stewards. Steward is responsible, is accountable. You must do it well while you have the time to do it. And doing it well, says Peter, and a little bit more in this passage, it involves having a clear-minded and disciplined prayer life. We need to pray regularly for God to use us. Do you do that? And very definitely for those that we are seeking to be agents of God's grace too. Know you've been an agent of God's grace to someone if you're not praying for them. The second thing it involves is loving others deeply. Because love covers a multitude of sins. You know, if we are working at loving other people within the church and those outside the church too, then we can expect that at times it will be very hard to do so, and especially to keep on doing so. People will let us down. People will reject us. People will take advantage of us. But you see, deep love, the word deep love there, deep love continues because it forgives a multitude of wrongs that others do against us. We know how much Jesus loved Paul the Apostle. Do you know Jesus loved Paul when he was still Saul, the Pharisee? He loved him then. Jesus loved Paul and kept on loving him enough to pursue him on that Damascus road, despite the fact that Paul was badly treating the followers of Jesus, and despite the fact that Paul was rejecting Jesus as God the Son. That's an example of deep love for us to follow. Peter then mentions offering hospitality. It's an example of how believers should be agents of grace. And he says, it might be hard to open your home and offer a meal to others, he says. But put yourself out. Do it without grumbling. Do it as a steward of God's grace to others. Now, this being agents of God's grace, as you probably already understood, can take many forms. That's why it's open to everyone. It can be speaking. It can be preaching. It can be organized acts of service. It can be offering hospitality. But it is usually just setting out to give someone a taste of joy in their life and in their situation, and doing so as an agent of God's grace. And the most wonderful thing is that it usually gives us more joy back than what we give out. Last Thursday, we had the over 55s, and I was telling them in my little devotional time a story or an opportunity that I had to be an agent of grace that very morning to one of the little young fellows who comes to our breakfast club, a little boy and not very old, I suppose, 9, 10. And how I nearly missed out on being it. You see, the Thursday before, a little fella came to me and said, "Pastor Keith, what are you doing next Thursday morning?" I said, "Well, actually, I'm doing quite a bit. I've got the Open 55 and I'll prepare for that and doing that." Why do you ask? See, because he said, "My class is running the assembly and I'm doing something. And I thought you could come along." And his sister came up to me after and she said, "Did he just ask you to go to the..." I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well," he said, "Mum works and she can't come." So I thought, I should try. So that Thursday morning, last Thursday, I went across to the assembly. I could only get there for the last 15 minutes, but I went anyhow. And I get there and there's people around. If you've ever been to the assembly, you know, it's like the class that's running, they're out the front. And there he was out the front, sitting on his chair, looking really bored. And that's typical him. And as I stood there, I made sure he could see me. And he looked at me, and his expression didn't change one bit. And he looked around. I thought, "Oh, fair enough, he's probably forgotten he's asked me. It doesn't matter. He didn't mention it this morning. That's okay." And then he glanced back again. And this time, he was looking, and he saw me. And his face glowed. And he waved. I loved that wave. I waved back. But the priceless thing was, I was there when he did his little bit. But what he didn't know, and what I didn't know, was that he was to receive a merit certificate that morning. When his name was read out, he just looked at me and said, and he goes up, gets his certificate, does his little bit, standing there. His is the only certificate, I think, that was upside down or inside out. And then he goes back to his place. He sits down. He held that certificate up just to me, who was right at the back of the hall, and I could see his mouth, "Wow." I do not know whether God will ever bring into the mind of that little boy one day that on one morning a pastor came to see him get a certificate and hear him in assembly. I don't know. That's not the point. I was an agent of grace. And to tell the truth, I received a heap more than what I gave. And I nearly missed out on it. That's the sad thing. And I think of the times I missed out on that. Being too busy, too concerned about me, my agenda, whatever it may be. If we're an agent of grace, God will use it. That's up to him how he uses it. But he will also bless us through it too. And the other thing I've noticed as I've thought back on this whole agent of grace thing, and I thought about the people in this congregation, so many of you, I've seen you over the years, you've been great agents of grace to others. And I've noticed that there's one thing that's important, and that is, if we want to be an agent of grace, then we need to give our whole lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the fundamental need, isn't it? To firstly hand our lives over to God so that he can use us. To say to him the words that we're going to sing in the final song this morning, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee." And then the last verse, words, "Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee." When we do that, and when we seek to live for Jesus, I believe we will be amazed at the opportunities God puts before us to be agents of his grace to those around us. And perhaps this week, today, as you go out, you say, "Lord, I want to be an agent of your grace," and look for those opportunities. And then in the week you say, "Gee, isn't that amazing how God has used me?" But more than that, how God has used those I've helped to bless me in return.